The pandemic isn't over just because you're over it. The pandemic isn't over just because you're over it. The pandemic isn't over just because you're over it.
Let me tell you again, tell you again.
The pandemic isn't over just because you're over it.
The pandemic isn't over just because you're over it. Hello. Oh, wow. So I told you all on my social media that if I got 20 reviews, I would do a bonus episode. And I don't think I have the 20 reviews, but I believe in myself a little bit this week. So I'm just going to go ahead and preemptively say thank you all. And if you're listening to this, welcome to this podcast. It's entitled Insequeer. I'm the Insequeer as fuck host, Chloe, and this is a bonus episode 12 for season 1 of my podcast, My Love, My Insequeer Project, Insequeer the Podcast. So, if this is your first time tuning in, I personally recommend that you start from the beginning because this is not going to make any sense to you. But to be fully transparent, even if you've been here from the beginning, it probably still won't make much sense to you. But I'm also okay with that. So there's so many things that have been kind of going on since the last time I recorded. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris took the White House back, even though that troll is not going to get off that bridge anytime soon. The weather's been weird. COVID is in an uptick and people aren't allowed to go home for Thanksgiving. And just, you know, so much life stuff has been happening. And it has caused me to want to come back a lot quicker than I had previously thought that I would want to come back, because while I'm not a current event podcast, a lot of the current events have been sparking a lot of thought and debate and honestly insecurities within me as your host. So maybe I'll do a top 10 things that have made me insecure since I've been recording Insecure, because yeah, everything, all the things. So I'm pretty sure I could do the top 200, but I don't want to waste your time or mine. And I don't want to tizzy into this anxiety inducing reality here on a Sunday evening. So I told you guys a lot of random shit about me, about my family, about my creativity, about my degrees, about my abusive relationships, about I always tell you I'm queer, so I mean, while I don't talk a whole lot about what queer means to me just yet, but I tend to tell you those things. But I think maybe I'll do a top 10 of some things that I don't really share about things that I'm insecure about. And at any given time, any one of these could become a more lengthy episode, but for shits and gigs, we're going to just do it Letterman style. Fun fact, I know that reference, but I don't think I've ever sat through a David Letterman top 10, so I don't know if he goes 10 to 1 or 1 to 10 or 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, but whatever. So I, in the vein of 10 to 1, that's not the vein, that's actually what I'm going to do. But I like to count down instead of counting up. So the number 10, like if I had to say this is the 10, top 10 of my 10, this is 10 on my list of things that I'm insecure about, it would be, I'm very insecure about having white gook in my eyes. Like, you know, this might, okay, these are weird. So 10, I am so nervous about if there's white gook or white crust or white anything, or it actually doesn't have to be white. It could be a hue of colors, if you will, brown, yellow, green. But if there's anything in the crevices of the cracks of my eyes, the innards of my eyes, or the creases in my mouth, I am overly self-conscious about that. And it's not like I am a repeat offender or if this happens often, but there have been numerous times then maybe this does happen often, but I digress. So there have been an ample amount of experiences where I know for a fact that I've engaged with at least 10 to 15 people. Now, this is pre-COVID, probably, you can't say post-COVID, pre-COVID, in COVID, PC and IC. So pre-COVID, I-COVID, I always think I have something in my eye because of COVID. I would have spoken to, so from the time I, you know, brush my teeth, wash my face, put on my Nivea cream because I'm still basic, and by the time I get home at around 5 p.m., there is a crust party either in my eye or around my nose or on my lip. And it looks like, by the time I get home, it looks like I'm a Vegas stripper. And I'm like, damn, within all that time, I talked to 15 people. Like, at what point did this shit start to form, and why did no one tell me? Right? And because I know people are rude, and because I'm rude, like, I've been in situations where I've seen someone, and that's what you get, karma and universe. So I know for a fact I've been in situations where I see that someone has something somewhere displaced on their face or their person, or like, I am the queen of not letting you know that your fly is down, because that's like so intimidating. Like, if I tell you your fly is down, like, while you're going to be like low-key appreciative, you're also going to be hella embarrassed. And then we got to go through that weird thing of like, why the fuck were you looking at my crotch? And I don't have an answer. I don't know why I was looking at your crotch, but I saw that your crotch wasn't, well, shit, your crotch was looking at me. So, but in that same vein, like, I walk through life and I don't tell people when they have these cultural faux pas of norms happening. So, like, I guess I can't be mad that none of you fucks will say, hey, Chloe, a little, like, I need you to be a friend like Oprah was to get a little ash on them ankles. So, but yes. So I spend a lot of time, and during COVID, this is terrible because the number one thing they tell you not to do is don't touch your eyes, don't touch your nose, don't touch your face. But I was like, bitch, I'd rather catch it. I would rather be COVID-19 positive than be positive that there is gook in my eye. And that's so terrible, right? Like, what does that say about society that I would rather catch this thing that is wiping us out almost as rapid as police brutality? But I'd rather catch COVID than potentially have crust in my eye. So if you see me when I'm doing my book tour, or if you catch me actually becoming a Las Vegas stripper, because the way that my life is going, that's not so far off, please tell me that I have crust or gook or yuck or any of the things that I wasn't born with on my eyes, my nose, my mouth. Thank you. So that was number 10. See, some of these are going to be fun. These are not going to be like, oh my God, Chloe's depressed as usual. But some of them might kind of fall on there because it's a continuum, as I'm learning most things are in life. The number 9 thing that I've been insecure about recently would be, I'm very insecure about my coats. So once again, it didn't really make it to the first season, but with weight loss surgery, like, I'm always in this weird place of like, do I buy something of high quality when my weight could continue to decrease, or, being fully transparent, increase? But a huge part of that is now, like, I have matured and don't really, I refuse to spend my money on things that don't have longevity or aren't going to fully serve their purpose. So, like, in this time of body uncertainty, I don't have a lot of, like, jackets or, well, clothes in general. But right now, if you don't know, in New York, it's like, one day it's August, one day it's January, and, like, there's this fluctuation going on. So I have a coat for it's January, I have an option for it's late August, but I don't really have something for those, ooh, it's a crisp, or I don't know, November. So, but because I'm trying to, A, downsize things in my home and in my life, because I have insecurity around something else that might make it to this list, so I don't want to spoil it, but I've been trying to do that Marie Conduit to your future, Marie, you know who, the lady who says, if you don't like the shit, or if it don't make you want to bust a nut, drop it. So I've been trying to do that. I've been trying to really pare down from like 85 pairs of sneakers to like 60, you know, like balance, right? So I'm really insecure about if I'm going to have a jacket option for whatever the weather will be outside. And I know that's a quick fix, but like I just said, there's a lot of mental health and all that shit attached to that. But like, if the weather is like not a cool 68 degrees, I'm fucked. If the weather is not a 6 or 8 degrees, I'm fucked. So, so please, if when you're listening to this, please message me reasonably priced places to get coats that could potentially drop off once the weather changes. Like, I really do believe in the concepts of thrifting and things like that, but like, I would really like it if I could just go to North Face and say, can I just borrow this $400 coat? Like, it's just for an outfit. I just, like, literally, like, hold on to my dog, hold on to my, bitch, you can have my social security card, because like, I promise I will actually bring it back, because I don't have the closet space. But to commit to purchasing it has just been, nigga, it's COVID. None of our jobs looks promised here on out. Like, I think we're on the cusp of a mass exodus again. So like, buying $400 jackets for those 3 or 4 hot-ish days hasn't been high on my priority, but like, it's high in my insecurity meter. So that's number 9. 10 is gook. 9 is bitch, where's your jacket? So that gets us to number 8. The number 8 thing, you know, I really should have started this list at 5, because 10 was a bit overzealous, and like, I'm already kind of overwhelmed as I'm thinking of these off the dome. But yeah, so we're gonna stick to it. So the number 8 thing that I am have been so insecure about lately is, I have been very insecure about how I upkeep my home. And it's when you're in transition in life and you're like straddling, like, okay, I'll just tell you where I am in my transition. Like, while I am 33 and social media and or the snippets I give you in this podcast would have you believe that either I have it way more together than I would like to believe, or I actually am not like fucking up and, you know, eating ramen out of a tuna can. I don't know. Some fuck shit. Whatever. But I say that to say, which I'm going to have a segment called I Say That to Say, because I do that in every episode. But I'm still somewhere. I say that to say that I'm still somewhere between probably still have plastic Rubbermaid food containers that I will eat cereal and or ramen out of. And I'm also somewhere where I have fine china and like crystal decanters and like, I have home pieces that you can clearly tell that I've lived my whole life in a dorm. And then I have pieces for that amazing industrial loft I'm going to get when I'm working for myself. So with my home being in this weird transition, like, on the days where I'm feeling really, really ready to live on Park Ave, or really, really ready to officially gentrify into my trans whiteness, which, pin that, and live in Bushwick, on those days, I'm just so pissed that I still have plastic plates or 600 beer mugs that I stole when I thought that was the coolest thing you could do at 20 years old. Now realizing how blessed I was, because on any given circumstance, I could have got shot and killed by the police because I stole a glass. Because let's be honest, we definitely get killed for less. So, but yeah, so like, there are times where I don't know which a part of my transition I'm comfortable with. But if I'm in any part of the other one, I'm fucking overwhelmed and I'm so insecure. So like, if I'm feeling real college Chloe, like real fuck it up, let's go steal a beer mugs, and I see all this nice shit, I feel like I don't deserve it. I feel like, oh, imposter, you're lying. Like, you're staging your home when you're not even there yet, bitch. Like, you just ordered Taco Bell from Uber Eats at 2 a.m. during a pandemic, because that's the safest meal that you could come across. And then on those days where I am like taking my vitamins, I'm in my full stride, I'm living my best fucking life, I am just alert and aware and appreciative and grateful and thankful and all these things, and then I fucking see shot glasses that are kind of stuck to my coffee table. And I'm just like, oh, you fucking idiot. Like, you're lying. You're lying to yourself. And then that coupled with, like, I'm 33 years old. Why don't I know how to dust? Like, why? Like, what is a dust schedule? Like, I'm not there yet. Like, I don't know how some of you fuckers, like, really have. Like, I go to some people's houses, some colleagues' apartments, and that shit looks like IKEA. Like, not, yes, you got it from IKEA, but, like, nigga, it's, like, showroom ready at all times. And I'm, like, your apartments are smaller than mine. I don't see where your duster is. I don't know where your fucking Roomba lives. Like, do you hire someone? Like, am I that broke that I don't know that is the secret cheat code to maintaining your apartment? So, like, my shit is, like, always dusty. And I'm, like, I give it a, like, when I tell you, it'll be a day, like, today's a Sunday, for example. On a good Sunday, I will throw on a great album and give it my all, bitch. When I tell you I'm in this bitch cleanup woman and, like, Miss Seeley, when she did all that shit and that fucker put that boot on the table, like, I'd be in here cleaning. And by Wednesday, I'm like, so I have to do that again. Like, so wait, like, I just, when I tell you, like, I will sweep corner left. I'm in the left corner. I'm sweeping the fuck out of the left corner of this place. I pivot to the right. And when I look back to the left, it's like, what's this? What's this? It's white shit everywhere. Because I have two white dogs and they are literally like vermin. Like, they're just, I love them. Follow them on Instagram. Two spoiled dogs NYC. I'll put it in the liner notes. But yeah, I struggle with maintaining these Insta, and I blame Instagram because I look at you all lie to me and you guys create these fake YouTube sets and it's perfect. And I'm pretty sure on the other side of that selfie, there's a fucking mop bucket or something, because, like, I have so many great things and they're attacking me. So I don't know how you fuckers can create this illusion but have nothing in your apartment. Slash, who the fuck is cleaning for you all? And what is their price point? Because at a certain price point, I'd rather just kick it with the dust. But yeah, that's number eight. I think I'm doing a decent job of being an adult. And, like, I'm in that place where I really want shit to have a place. But, like, that my home is a representation of my life. So it's a beautiful mess. So that's number eight. Number seven, which I definitely know number seven will be an episode because it's definitely worth an hour to 2 hours in three parts because, you know, bitch loves a cliffhanger like I'm fucking the Twilight Saga series. But number seven, I am so insecure about, or insecure, like, I don't know if I'm supposed to say insecure. Is that too on the nose, like when New Yorkers wear New York paraphernalia? Not paraphernalia like bongs and shit, like paraphernalia like hats and whatever. So, I'm super insecure about my relationship with drinking. And you want to talk about an abusive relationship? Like, that should have been in Trauma Makes 4 Horror, because alcohol has been beating the fuck out of me and loving me right in utero. Okay. Like, I came out having a preference, right? What the fuck is Similac, bitch? Where's the gin? And I don't know if it's the weight loss surgery or the fact that I am just, like, interested in other ways of being and or coping and or self-medicating, but, and, or I think it's just, I don't care why I got there, but I will say I'm so proud that I am here. But this is another one of those weird transitional moments in my life. And it's that I no longer enjoy drinking. And, like, I probably could put a gasp here because if any of you really know me, you know that I open the bar, I shut down the bar. I used to eat pieces of the bar, but I had a drinking problem. I think I would say it out loud. Like, I had a codependency to drinking that was just, it did not feel wrong in the moment. I don't even feel wrong in saying it now because I think it served its purpose. It was in my life in a way that honestly, if I wasn't doing the drinks in some of those moments, it would have been crack. So I'm thankful that I seem to be on the mend slash have created a maturity around drinking, where it's literally now because I want to and not because I don't know how to articulate myself, or I want to not be able to remember why I need to articulate myself. But on the flip side of that, COVID specifically, or like now that the city in COVID, has made it very messy in the sense that the only things that are really, really open or really, really that I found that are like a semblance of normalcy here are bars. And so as someone who, while I think my partner and I, we talk about it regularly, we executed COVID beautifully. Like, I think it was documentary worthy the way in which we got to have a beautiful COVID New York City love story. While that is true, now that the city has opened up a bit more, we want to kind of be out and or experience things before another mass shutdown happens. But while we take our social distance walks or our just get out of the house walks, like we get dressed every Friday as if we're going on the best date in Atlanta or LA or even New York pre-COVID. Like, we get dressed with so much intention. Like, this is the day we're going to find the bar, the place to be, the something to do. And every time we just walk for 4 hours and then end up at home because, one, the drinks during COVID, like, I think they know that, like, for a time that you could get them to go, like, you weren't really going to cuss them out, because by the time you realized your shitty drink was shitty, you were halfway away from the restaurant and or just drinking it because you're happy to have a drink that you didn't have to make your fucking self. Spoiled ass, first world ass problems. Like, why are we out having drinks? It's a fucking pandemic. Go home and drink some fucking water so you don't die. But who does that, right? Right. So we did the thing. Like, the minute the little bars would open up with this whole drinks to go thing, we try, ooh, let's try a margarita here. Let's get one of these terrible Dallas BBQ drinks there. Let's, like, we tried it, and every time it was a disappointment. It was like a $20 disappointment. Like, damn, for 20 bucks we could have bought a reasonably priced bottle of something brown and got somebody's Everfresh juice hood shit. And be fine. But just because we wanted to be out and engage with people and just see them, right? Like, while I can admit we don't even engage the same way when we do take these chances, but just being around other faces and seeing how other people have come out of this is like our goal. But that only typically right now, like, movie theaters aren't open, like, you coffee shops are really transient. The only places where it seems like logical to sit and be social is at a bar. And I don't want to drink, but I want to drink. And then, because similar to my trauma bonds that I discussed in the previous episodes, once again, this is the time to plug it. You're listening to Insequeer, the podcast. If you have not seen it from the beginning, no one's seen it yet, dummy. If you have not listened, I highly recommend you go back to episode one, but if not, stay with me. And now I've lost my train of thought because I tried to do this cool thing where I plug it. So trauma bonding with my drinking is that, like, drinking was what I did when I didn't have anything else to do. It was what I did when I was bored, when I was happy, when I was sad, when I was indifferent, when it was Monday, when it was Sunday, when it was any day that ended with Y. So in those low moments where I really am antsy and don't know what to do, or like how to sit with myself, or if like me and my partner have talked each other till there's no more words left in the room, or whatever the fuck reason, we want to go out and drinking is no longer fun. And it's a heartbreak because it was fun, and it's ingrained in how I know people to have a good time currently. And like, granted, you can meet people, you can do the sober thing, but then you add that COVID piece again, and like, there's not a lot of sober, let's meet up meetups, because the only idiots who are probably outside ignoring the pandemic are people who drink. So that's a bit of a conundrum. But I think about it in the sense that I always say that, like, I believe that I've been doing so good in my life, even with the hard shit, like even with the stuff that has been too traumatic to really process. like you see, I had to struggle to process that word. Like when shit like that happens, I have not felt that rock bottom feeling. I need to drink it away. Like that hasn't been happening. And like I always say, I'm so scared for like I'm a 7.5 is like I'm insecure about one of those experiences where I really potentially don't have control again. And then like I've been lying to myself that I'm done drinking and I could potentially fall back harder than I have. But yeah, I'm not going to say I don't ever want to touch the stuff again, but I don't ever want to get back to that place of being so dependent on drinking. But the pandemic and the social circles and the things in which I'm currently in, on top of the stress of just fucking life, and because cannabis is not legal where I'm from, and all the bullshit that makes that more of a taboo, nuanced thing, and how it'll always be way more socially acceptable to be so drunk that you pee on yourself at a work event, but if you come to that same event with a tinge of THC on your person, it's a whole nother story. That kind of thing makes me think that drinking will kind of play a dominant, can easily begin to play another dominant role in my life. And I'm really insecure about that because I've loved the clarity that I've had not needing to drink, or the fact that I have been able to maneuver some shit that I know is hard without drinking. So that's number 7. And number 6, the number 6 thing that I'm insecure about, the number 6 thing that I'm insecure about. I am insecure about, I think I'm very, very, very insecure about my edges. My edges. I talked about it previously that it was in the I am My Hair Locks of Love episode 6, ironically enough. Look at that. Kismet. Look, see, when you're in your zone, shit like that lines up. So here I am talking about my 6th insecure thing that I just referenced about my 6th episode of this what project. So full circle. Because I had weight loss surgery, because I wasn't taking my vitamins, my dreadlocks, I had to do a big chop. Spoiler alert, not going to give it all away. Go back to episode 6 if you need a recap. And a huge part of that situation was that my edges left me. Like my edges, I lost my edges quicker than I lost weight. Now your girl has done the big chop, and I'm moisturizing, I'm oiling, I'm scalping, I'm just exfoliating, I'm black seed oiling, I'm natural caring, I'm not touching too much, I'm not breathing on it, I'm not brushing it too hard, but like I got a haircut where we kind of evened it all out to kind of start from scratch, right? Like, hey, all y'all niggas on your mark, get set, everything is going except these edges. So while I'm taking my biotin regularly, like I would like to say I've been about 3 weeks strong. Like I'm longer, but I can say out loud that in this stint of all things crazy, for 3 consistent weeks without missing a single day, like I think that's the caveat, like all 7 days each week I've been taking all my vitamins, including my biotin. And even before that, I was averaging 4 to 6 days of consistency, but I would fall off once or twice. But like, I have been committing. I just spent $65 on re-ups, like, nigga, like it's a dime bag or something. I was going to say, remember when dime bags were a dime, but I don't remember either because I don't know Cheech or Chong. So, but I always love when people do that. Remember when at one point there was marijuana that you could purchase for 10 cents. So if you don't remember that, that was a free lesson, and you can Google it to fact check me. But so I'm doing all this stuff and I am being very consistent with my vitamins, and I'm really just letting my hair breathe. Like I'm not going to get any designs because I really did want to see the progress of my edges. And, I don't want to manifest this by saying it, but I would like to be honest and say that based on how everything else is growing, there is cause for concern. So, I would love to have Rogaine for Women sponsor this. So if you're out there listening and you know somebody who knows somebody, I think I would give it a go, because what are we without our edges? Like the edge of the macaroni, the edge of the brownie, and the edges of Chloe Beck, they all matter. And right now, that's the sixth thing I'm insecure about, because, bitch, they let themselves go. Number five thing that I'm insecure about, which will most definitely be an episode, number five. Excuse me. This is a bonus episode, so I'm going to drink on the mic. I know some people don't care for that, so I apologize. I'm very insecure about the reality that it might be a very long time before we go to another concert without feeling like, well, it may be a very long time before we go to another concert / I'm insecure about realizing that the joy and the freedom and the medicine that going to a concert was pre-COVID will probably never feel the same way again, because now that we know, okay, even if they figure this shit out and we get a vaccine and it's 10,000% accurate and it works and it does all the things, now that we have seen a pandemic and now that we have lived through, and even though I saw some anti-vaxxer protesters today, some anti-maskers today in Manhattan, I do think that venues and experiences like that and entertainment will always, 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 forever in a day now exercise a level of cautiousness that will stop me from getting to sneak backstage at my favorite artist's show, or stop the meet and greets, or stop those moments where you could potentially have a drink with your favorite artist. I think COVID has really put a wedge in between the communal experience that happens with music specifically, but in most of those entertainment arenas. And as I've said before, music is literally my medicine, and concerts are like just a full retreat on my person. Like, I feel renewed at concerts. I feel alive. I feel whole. I feel woke. I feel present. I feel free at concerts. And I'm very insecure that feeling, may never feel the same again. So yeah, that's number five. See, look, I'm all over the spectrum. Nothing too crazy. Nothing too, too crazy. Number four, I can make this hella light, hella simple. Number four, I am very, 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 very insecure, insecure about season two of this podcast. I am loving how the ways in which I unraveled season one, and how I've had such a good time slow promoting and just building up the audience in all these social media platforms. For example, it's now streaming on YouTube. It drops an episode drops every other day or every other week, if I remember. I am getting to post snippets from episodes and quotes and like really build a brand on the Instagram. I still haven't quite mastered how I would like to use Twitter, but I'm playing the game and I'm tweeting and I'm engaging and I'm doing my best. So I feel really good about what it felt like to have a good amount of episodes already in the can. Like even though I was recording them and releasing them, like since I didn't do that big social media push, I didn't have that urgency to record because now a group of people are listening. But so I'm in this weird place where I'm like super into the project, and I don't mind trying to find a weekly or bi-weekly or whatever type schedule. But I also would love to be so disciplined where I can sit on these episodes and then do another, now 12, do another 10 to 12, even numbers. We're all about even numbers, except I like things in three, which conundrum there, I suppose. I like the idea to be able to have a big body of work and then tease it out and then promote it in a more rhythmic way. But I'm just insecure about that because, like I said, there's always something that brings me to just want to push record. And now I got new headphones and I got a new arm stand, so I'm not holding the mic. And I got this energy and like y'all are talking to me and people are eating it up. And like people who start episode one on Monday are done by Sunday. Shout out to Raven. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you to all of you who are listeners, supporters, likers, subscribers, sharers, haters, motivators. Thank you all. But I'm still so insecure about it. And I think this project will be a really, really, really good lesson in stop overthinking and stop assuming. One of my assumptions was, damn, bitch, you're going to do a whole nother season of other shit you're insecure about. When are you going to start working through this shit? And I'm like, you can't really work on your shit until you get it all out. So if there's three seasons of every topic Chloe's insecure about, and then season four, we say, hey, let's work on your edges, then so fucking be it. Like, or if it's my goal to just talk to you about shit that I'm insecure about forever, and that is the shtick, then bitch, be insecure. But I say that right now, but I need to take that little snippet that I just said and put that on loop on my phone, because that's the kind of hesitancy. It's like I'm playing double dutch with recording or like the process instead of just kind of enjoying it. But I'm not insecure about my fan base. I'm not insecure about you guys. You guys have showed up, showed out, and I appreciate you. Even though I bully many of you into giving me reviews. But, you know, I appreciate you. I still appreciate this project. I'm still so excited about it. I'm still excited to see how much it morphs and what it can become. But I would be lying if I didn't say I still had some insecurities about what season two will look like. But I guess we'll be insecure together there when it comes out. Okay, so that was what, five? Was that four? Oh, fuck. Five was, okay, what was that, four? That was four. We're going to say that was four if it wasn't charged to the game. Number three, the third thing that that's going to bother me. Okay, 10 was the gook in my eyes. I don't even remember. Can't even go through them. So we're just going to keep it going. You saw that? Okay, the third thing that I'm insecure about is if this is, in fact, number three. And I'm just going to ride with that. So we have no idea if this is three or four because I refuse to stop, listen, and go back. I don't have time to do that. I'm not that kind of a person in my podcast. I like the flow of them. But that is fun because that reminds me of just how insecure I am about promotion of the project. I try to make sure I get a system and I follow it, because I learned that when I don't have some sort of routine or if I don't have some sort of structure, while I still hate outlines, fuck them. Although if I had an outline today, this wouldn't have happened. When I get so nervous, I'm like, I want to make sure that everything is pristine. So when they click it, it all looks uniform. It all looks the same. So like, for example, when I'm doing my Insta samples where I play a little bit of the clip, I'm like, in season one, episode six, I'm like, ooh, did I write out one? Did I spell it out? Did I just put the number? So I delete and go back 85 times to see if I keep the structure the same. When I know I could just take notes, I could just do this that way. And I think that's probably a whisper and a lesson. But I get so nervous about that. Like, ooh, did I post at the right time? Did I post all three? Are the pictures shifting? It's because it's my baby, guys. This project is my baby. And be this three or four, I'm very insecure about how she looks, how she feels, and if she's being seen as a reputable piece of work because she is so important to me. So yeah, that brings us down to, and I love things in threes and I love my project. So that, another full circle moment. The second thing that I'm most insecure about as of late, I'm very, 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 very insecure about if I have too many plants. So for those of you who don't know, I am a proud plant mother to over easily 50 plants and succulents combined. Tropical, house, snake, peace lily, wandering Jew, that's not a slur, I promise. Pothos, monstera, ferns of different varieties. It's fucking animal kingdom in here, or plant kingdom, I guess that makes more sense. But I have so many plants, and I'm overwhelmed by it because similar to how I said, I'm at that place where I'm teetering between college Chloe and career Chloe, I guess, or comfortable Chloe, because it's not about a career. Careers don't make you comfortable, which is another topic for another day. But one thing they never really talk to you about as a newly black woman who's an urban jungle goddess aesthetic, having love my plants because they love me back ass bitch, is that these fuckers literally multiply. They multiply. And if you take a piece that has a little dick on it and you stick it in some water and it becomes a whole nother plant and then it's yours, and there's a community, and like you could become a plant influencer and be a plant queen, if you will. Shout out to the plant queen, K-W-E-E-N. I'll put that in the description. And there's Reddits and clubs and trades and a world. Like, here I am thinking my mom's, you know, she used to just sing to her plants, crack a little eggshell and it's something about the nutrients. But it was usually pothos and some random shit you didn't know. But like, there are plants out here that cost as much as a small child. Like, you could either get a monstera or you can get a whole baby, depending on what country you're in. Like, and I don't mean that to be hyperbolic, but it's true. And their upkeep, and they need things, and they don't like things, and they're like, oh, too much sun, not enough water, you're breathing on me too hard, the music's too loud, it's just Tuesday, I'm depressed, I think I'm gonna die just to piss you the fuck off. It is overwhelming, and I'm overwhelmed by my plants because I will not live in this beautiful home forever. And the more and more I think about that, the more and more I'm assessing what it'll look like to move all my shit that I love and some of the shit that I don't love, like the 38 beer mugs I stole when I was between the ages of 20 and 26. I'm like, how the fuck do you ship? How do you, speaking from a place of scarcity and thinking you still have to in-rig things, I wasn't going to say it out loud, but I will say it. Nigga rig things, which means innovatively, ethnically, learn how to do something instead of probably doing it a more appropriate or palatable way. Nigga rig, an example of nigga rigging, because it's my job to edutain you. For those of you who don't know what nigga rigging is, you ever seen someone who has a busted window and instead of having the finances, the means, the time, or whatever the case, to just go ahead and get that fixed, they'll throw some duct tape and a clear-ish or not clear-ish plastic bag over the window? That's called nigger rigging. Still works. You're not in the element. Saved a ton. Nigger rig. Or like if you see somebody with some pliers to have to crank something that used to have a handle, that's an example of nigger rigging. That's your Chloe credit for today. Here I am thinking that it's my job to have to figure this out myself and probably not hire someone to move them. But we're at that sweet spot where we like all of our plants. And we like our plants so much that we like them to have plant friends. Speaking of, you can follow my plant page at The Plant Stems, but the play on stems in the lesbian community. So it's The PlantStemmes. And you can see some of our babies. And we're two black queer women who love our plants and love each other and love life. Tagline. But I'm overwhelmed by them because when we had to leave to go to Cleveland, for example, which I chronicled in Home is Where the Hurt Is, episodes part 1 and 2 of the podcast, we have so many plants, we're at that place where we have to hire someone to actually come water them. Like, our plants are on a schedule better. Like, they're getting their vitamins better than I was getting my vitamins. Like, they are very... Like, we were like, well, we just got to get like a 5-gallon thing and put some rope in it and stick the rope in and pin it down. And we'll just ask this person if they could pop in on this day. And I'm just like, when my mom wanted to go somewhere, I never remember her saying, what the fuck am I going to do with this plant? And I'm like, is it a millennial thing that we're overthinking it? Or will these niggas be okay, niggas being my plants, which they're my babies and they're looking at me, you guys are not niggas, you are beautiful black and brown and blue and green queens from the diaspora of plants. But like, if one, I don't want to come home to a dead plant, and I don't want to go too far because I don't trust the people. Like, if someone says, yeah, I watered your plants, like, how do you really test that theory? Like, do I put a nanny cam? Like, are you being kind to my plants? Are you singing to them? Like, I didn't know that my plants would need so much from me. And now I have an anxiety and I'm insecure about our relationship and or how I'm going to get them to wherever our next place is. Like, what if I move to a place where they're like, no plants? Granted, that would never happen, but it's 2020. Actually, anything can happen and probably will. So that's number two of all the things that I'm insecure about randomly. Number one, coming in at number one. The number one thing that I have been most insecure about this past 2020, this past cycle in my life has been if I am on the right path. Am I doing the right things? Am I taking the right opportunities? Am I sitting in the right space? Am I doing the right thing? I think COVID, once again, COVID was not the worst thing for me. It was very freeing in a lot of ways. But one way in which it has freed me has caused me so much anxiety is that it has freed my mind to wonder and assess what I do with my life. And when I was in the rat race of my depression and my weight and my work drama and all the bullshit that I would use to avoid looking at me, I didn't have time to look at me. And now, oh my God, it's like mirror, 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 high beam, look it, think about it. Are you? And I spend so much time just trying to be in my lane and be where I'm supposed to be for my blessing, because I've learned that my blessing has been delayed because I've been in someone else's lane or looking at someone else's blessing or focused on things that just kept me from me in a way that has hurt me. And now I have removed a lot of that. And now it's just me, my manifestation and my mission. And everything is like, it's always like I'm in this new place of look for the sign and be where you're supposed to be and mind your own business and do all these things. But I'm like, every day I cannot tell if I'm doing that. The universe has given me some markers and some indicators to make me think that I'm not veering off. Like, you know, I would love for my universe and my world to be like it is when you're driving on the highway, which, bitch, I don't do that often. That'll be a bonus one in case if I did miss one. We'll talk about that after this, the highway thing. But you know how when you're too close to one of the edges and like they created those little ridges so your tire could hear like that, like, oh, you need to steer the right course, like kind of like, hey, going too far. Or if you're a person who can afford a nice car, it beeps at you like, hey, something to the left, hey, something to the right. I am so insecure because I can't tell if mine are working, or I can't tell if the things that I'm experiencing are things that I should be revolting against or going with, or it's like, do I stay or do I go? Do I, you know, I'm in a place where I'm always like unsure. I'm so unsure, which is a new feeling. So it's not always so terrible, because before I was sure that I was not where I was supposed to be, but I was so sure that this is what I deserve that I didn't even try to figure out my path. But now I know I deserve so much more, and I'm ready to, I'm getting it. I don't even have to say I'm ready. I'm living it. I'm doing it. And I just got to trust that whatever it is, I'm doing it the way I'm supposed to. But it doesn't always feel like that. And something that has been happening to me that I am cognizant of and I have to pay very close attention to is that I have become infatuated with people who I believe or perceive to have found their lane or their piece of the orchestra. Like, they are playing their part so flawlessly in their life, and it shows. And I'm like, damn, I cannot wait to be, and I've been working hard, not saying I cannot wait. So I switched. I cannot wait to. I'm so excited for the time where everything is firing at the same time for me because I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. But in that, I catch myself like a moth to a flame to those people. They become these superheroes to me because I'm like, damn, they're not necessarily doing anything so expansive or XYZ or life changing, but they're doing life changing work by just doing what they were called to do. And a prime example of that is Alex Trebek. Rest in peace, Alex Trebek. And, I remember I was working on another part of myself of just being grateful. And when Alex Trebek passed away, I remember I was in the bathroom. I saw it. I yelled it out to my girlfriend and I was letting the monster come. I was letting the depression and the angst and the hurt and the, oh my God, I'm never going to see Alex Trebek again. And I fucking watched a show in the last 15 years, but it's the principle at this point. All the great people in our lives need to stop dying because fuck, that means my time is coming too. But when Alex Trebek died, I was letting it happen. I felt it like the cloak of despair was over me. And then I said, no. Look at the life he lived. Look at the work he did. Look at the people who he touched. I don't know anybody, hood nigga, Wall Street Journal writer, Wall Street worker, black, white, ethnically, differently able. It does not matter. I don't know anybody who's like, you know who I fucking hate? I fucking hate Alex Trebek. No one. He's a cultural icon. He was an educator. He made us all feel like we could be on that show and win. Nigga, I don't know anybody who cannot hear and fucking say, what is X for X amount of dollars, Alex? He has a stamp on pop culture, on education, on game shows. And all he wanted to do is be remembered as a moderately nice guy. He recorded episodes up 10 days up until he, 10 days before he died. He went to work once he found out he had cancer, and then he used that platform to educate and probably save some of y'all parents' lives out there. But Alex Trebek did not try to be Pat Sajak. Alex Trebek did not try to be anybody but Alex Trebek. Alex Trebek had a random ass job and was more than enough. You know, he didn't say, I wanted to be the next president of the United States. He stayed in his lane. And speaking of that, the guy who just won president, Joe fucking Biden has said his whole life he wanted to be president. And there were so many instances from his wife and child dying in a car accident, tragically, boop, to him happening to run up against, I don't fucking know, Barack Obama at one point, thinking that was going to work in his favor. Didn't. And at a time where it would have been his go time, the love of his life, his son, Bo, dies of brain cancer. Joe Biden never got mean. He never got rude. He never stopped loving the position that he wanted, no matter how many times it was a no for him. He did what? He stayed in his lane. He steered the course and he made history with this win. He took states that have never seen blue. He won by numbers that were so fucking big that it would have never been like that had he won against a Barack. Had he done it in the age of Trump and Hillary. But he waited for his turn. He was a steward and an instrument. He was an instrument of his instrument. And he was a steward of his blessing and his purpose. And he was so good. He was so selfless. You can say whatever you want. I don't know the man. I feel sorry for that man. I wouldn't want to be that man right now. But he stuck to what he wanted. He never gave up. He never hurt his chances by being nasty and negative about the processes that eliminated him. And something else he did, he shaped history in a way that, fuck his win, he brought a black woman to the White House as his vice president. See, those are the kind of people I want to be around, right? That is the kind of life that I, Chloe Beck, want. I want to be around friends who can bring me to places and I can bring them to places and we can open doors for each other. But I can't do that if I'm not finding my lane and trailblazing it. So I'm very insecure about that. I spend a lot of time talking to myself about that and assessing that and reminding myself that when I catch myself doing something that's blatantly not in Chloe's trajectory, when I catch myself blatantly, like out of my mind, doing some shit that has no business being done or worrying about some shit that I don't need to worry about or showing up in a way that will not benefit me no matter who I become or what I am or who I already am, I tell myself, hey, we do this thing, my partner and I, we go do, 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 do. And it's from this epiphany we had based on Leanne LaHavis's Bittersweet. She plays with the BBC orchestra and there's like a 60 is being modest. There's like probably a 300 piece orchestra behind her. And I get, because I think Leanne LaHavis is in her lane. I think you can see it when a person is in their purpose. Like, and when she was on that stage, I was like, that is an example of being in the pocket and being in your lane and being right where you're supposed to be. And I was like, they couldn't do that without her. And then I was like, but wait a minute. We know this song is amazing because we have the studio album. Leanne LaHavis knows the song is amazing because she wrote it. But the guy who's the fucking violinist, he just knows how to play the violin. All he knows is when it's his turn to hit his note, that's his job. And he's not trying to be the bassoon. He's not trying to be the harp. He's not trying to be the conductor. There's this part where it goes, do, 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 do. And I'm like, he knows his part in this beautiful piece that we get is just to be do, 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 do. And I'm like, if he was not there, the whole song would fall. The whole song would sound different. The whole song would not be the song. And I'm like, you could take any part of that orchestra, Leanne LaHavis, take her out. It wouldn't have happened. The conductor, it wouldn't have happened. The people who sat down and heard her guitar version and turned it into something that 300 people could play. I want to be that in my lane. And that's where I'm insecure because it's mesmerizing. And the only time that I truly feel like I'm really in my lane, like I'm really in my shit, is when I'm doing this. And I'm working through a lot of shit in real time, but like, I don't even know if podcasting is the lane, but it feels so good right now to if it's not the lane, it's definitely on the do-do-do-do-do right path. And speaking of right paths, that's it. That's it. No, it's not. I told you. So speaking of, I'm super insecure about not being an excellent driver because I don't have enough practice driving. So I think I just gave you 10. We'll talk about the driving shit later because that helps me play real small in a lot of areas in my life, but I'm working through it. I have my driver's license. I got a night. Small. I have my driver's license. I've had it for about 5 or 6 years. Coincidentally, I've been in New York for 5 or 6 years. So I don't really exercise my driving too much. Pre-getting my license, I was a excellent drunk driver, which I do not recommend. That was a terrible time in my life. And I'm so grateful that I did not hurt anyone or myself. And I will promise to never do that again. It's never worth it. excuse me, since I don't drive enough, I'm just so, and I know the magnitude and the power of a car. For example, my partner and I saw a crazy accident yesterday when we were like 5 minutes. The accident happened in a place where we had just crossed the street, not even 5 minutes before. So we saw life be so precious that day. But I say that to say I know how dangerous cars are, and I know how stupid people are, and I know how I've been in cars with people who don't deserve their licenses. So I have a little anxiety around that, but that's neither here nor there. We're more concerned about being in our lane. And if podcasting is my lane, bitch, I'm doing 90 the whole way with a seatbelt. And episode 12, the bonus episode, Chloe's Insecure Top 10 or 11 or 9, random. Those are the things I've been insecure about. Please tell me what you're insecure about. Please stop me from being insecure about this podcast and share it with people who you think would love it, like it, hate it. All feedback is welcome because I'm learning that that's for you to say and me to ignore if I don't agree. But thank you guys.